Well, my sermon today is Even Father Lonergan Had a Mother. One of my favorite movies is A Quiet Man with John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara, Ward Bond, Victor McLaughlin. You know, it's a fantastic movie. And there's a scene in there where Victor McLaughlin can't keep his mouth shut. And the widow Tulane, he wants to marry her. And she's not really too excited about marrying him at that time. But anyway, Maureen O'Hara is his sister. He just betrothed her or got married to John Wayne. And so he says, well, since she's out of the house now, then, you know, the widow can come in. Because they were worried about having two women in the house at one time. You know, the Chinese ideogram for trouble is two women under one roof. Hey, I didn't make that one up, but that's there. So anyway, he says, and who's to be when? And he says, but what's a house without a woman? Why, even Father Lonergan had a mother, and I love Ward Bond, because he's the priest. And he turns, looks at him, so what did you expect? You know, we all have mothers. Even Jesus had a mother. But anyway, isn't that a wonderful story? On the first page of the bulletin, I gave you a background on Mother's Day. And I thought, you know, Mother's Day is not in the Bible. It's a made-up holiday. And about every 3 or 4 years, I preach on it. So I went back and looked. I preached on it my first year here, and I haven't since then. So it's time. Now, the thing is, I was doing research. I found that Mother's Day actually started as a church holiday. It didn't remain there. I mean, the people with money got their hands on it and became commercialized. But there was one person who said we needed a day to celebrate the important women in our lives. And she asked Congress to set a day aside to celebrate for them. Mother's Day. Anybody know who that woman was? No? Julia Ward Howe. That name ring a bell? No? We're going to sing one of her hymns today. She wrote Battle Hymn of the Republic. And she's the one that went to Congress and asked for the holiday. You know, as I was preparing for this, I thought, all right, I'll go through and pull out a hymn that celebrates mothers. Do you realize in either the red hymnal or the green hymnal, there's not one hymn that celebrates mothers? And I thought, boy, somebody missed the book. And the other thing, there's no real Bible verses that celebrate mothers a lot, except for a couple places. And one of the most important was the 31st chapter of Proverbs, starting in verse 10. Gene came up to me today and he says, you know, that really is what we should be thinking about today. And I said, would you do, read my sermon? Let me read this to you. And this is starting in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Guys, you hear that? The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. And I'm going to talk about that one real quick right now. The thing is that lamps burn with oil. And so you always had to have enough oil. Put it on because there's no other lighting. I mean, it's not like you get up in the middle of the night and turn your light on. So you always had to have a lamp lit so you had light for the house. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruits of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Isn't that beautiful? So why don't we have other verses in the Bible that deal with that? I was surprised by that. But you know, today the church doesn't recognize Mother's Day. But I think it's important for us to look at one of the other mothers in the Bible. I mean, she was a good woman and served the Lord in everything she did. She had many children, raised them well. They all turned out well. But there was one child that exceeded all the others, and that was her firstborn, Jesus. Folks, we know that Mary loved Jesus. But as I was thinking about this, we also know that she was at the foot of the cross when Jesus was being put to death. How could a mother sit there and watch that, watch her child die that way? You know, I was thinking about this as I was writing my sermon. You know, it would kill me if my son was killed that way. How does Mary feel? How did she feel? I mean, it's not something that any of us can put ourselves into her place. I don't know. I just can't imagine what she went through. But here's the important thing. Did she lose faith in the Lord? No. Now, how do we know this? Okay, it's in the Bible. The very last mention in Scripture of Mary, Jesus' mother, comes in Acts 1, verses 13 and 14, where the disciples, quote, went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. This shows that Mary, Jesus' mother, had joined with the disciples and was part of the church, the developing church. So we know she didn't give up after the crucifixion. Of course, it was the resurrection too. But she could have gotten very angry at God at this, couldn't she? You know, why did you let my son go through that? Well, what can we learn from this? That no matter how bad things get for us, that Jesus is with us and we do not quit. And I think that's important. It's so easy to say, well, I give up. You know, when Jesus is with us, can we attend? Can we make things work? Sure. Does the Holy Spirit sometimes tell us that, no, you're going down the wrong path? Yes. But that's okay, too. That's how we learn. One of my most favorite sayings is said by Pope John the 23rd. When God closes a door, he opened a window. And isn't that true? By the way, Wanda, did you see our first hymn today? It was written by Dan Shooting of the Society of Jesus. He was a Jesuit priest. There's a group of priests in St. Louis called the St. Louis Jesuits who started writing all these songs. And a lot of these things that we do and hear, the new songs, were written by the St. Louis Jesuits. And I mean, they're so full of gospel. But it's one of those things that, you know, we're all together in this, and I think it's important. So we don't quit. Isn't that what Mary lived, if she didn't quit on anything? You know, I think about what that lesson is. When I was at the seminary, I was in the Missouri Synod, and many of us know the law base of the Missouri Synod, and I had troubles with that. You know, I asked a question one time because they have closed communion. And I said, if Jesus and the apostles came through that door, they're not card-carrying members of the Missouri Synod, would you give them communion? You know what the answer was? No, listen to this. Well, you know, if you're not happy in the Missouri Synod, there's other groups that you might be happier. And I said, well, thank you for saying that, but you didn't answer my question. So do you commute them or not? I never answered the question. When I was in Texas, I always went to the Missouri Synod Winkles because it's a pastor and we study the Bible. And so I brought up that same question. Eric Gonzalez was the first vice president of the Texas district. And we had a pastor there that would not take communion with us. In fact, he said it only should happen in your church and that's it. And I pulled out the Book of Concord, you know, and I said, it doesn't say that. I mean, we shouldn't limit it. And I asked him with the same thing, what if Jesus and the apostles came in? What would you do? And he said, well, I'll have to sit down. And he realized what he started to say. He was going to question Jesus. And Pastor Gonzalez's head whipped around and he said, what did you just say? He says, you and I better have a talk. I said, all right, I'll keep my mouth shut. But it was one of those things. They didn't want people to think. And also, as Pastor Don and I have talked about, there seems to be a law base in that group that I disagree with. I like the gospel, because the gospel is important. And so the thing is, I ended up here because I didn't quit. Think about that for a second. I wanted to serve Jesus, and they didn't want to put me in a church because I thought outside the box. But you know, the important thing, I didn't quit on Jesus, and he didn't quit on me. And I think that's an important message for Mother's Day. At this point, I don't think any of us have a mother still living except for Chris. We've all lost our mothers. But today, when you do your prayers, say a prayer of thanksgiving for your mother, even if she wasn't the greatest one in the world, because you wouldn't be the person you are without her. May this blessing of Mother's Day keep your hearts and minds on both the love of Jesus that our mothers have for us. This is most certainly true. Amen.